It is perfectly natural for men to be self-centered. It is supernatural for them to be wholly altruistic, so that they and their means are dedicated to the welfare of others. Yet it is only through the elimination of self-centeredness that we can hope to assuage the ills of our world. Why is it natural for men to be self-centered? When we were created for our Heavenly Father. We do not belong to ourselves. We have no primary rights over our own lives. He has rights in our existence which belong to no other person. This is the meaning of the phrase in the Ten Commandments, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." We are made in the image of God. Even our physical frame reflects His divine being. We are conscious of being selves, and self-consciousness and the consciousness of sin is part of being human. We come into the world and it lies around us, and we imagine that we are the center of it, not only physically, which of course is true for each of us, but morally and spiritually. As we grow up, we become conscious of existence. Our first consciousness is not of self, but of relationship between parent and child. We grow up in an Eden of delight and peace. At first, the baby does not know that it has been separated from its parent body. The first relationship is one of utter dependence. Some things hurt us, some things please us. Things that please us we hope will happen again, and we call them good. But things that hurt us we hope will not happen again. We call them bad. We welcome and hope for the recurrence of the things that please us, but the things that displease us we turn away from. So, as we grow up, we become the center and the standard of reference of our own moral world. The value judgments we form are based upon the way life affects us. We have a standard of values which we borrow from our past experience. We begin our lives in a truth and in a lie. It is true that we are the center of the universe physically, but it is not true that we are the center of the universe morally. God is. As we recognize that we are the center of the universe physically, so morally we commit the error of thinking that our standard of values is final. Our judgments on life are ultimate. And every man walketh in his own way and after the image of his own God. We were doing this before we were conscious that we were doing it. And we are not guilty as a result. But we are certainly in a position which brings dismay and a disruption of life to us and to all others who are around us unless it is corrected. In recent years, there has been in certain circles a distinct awakening of social consciousness, and we might begin to hope that the crest of the wave of selfishness which has swept over the world has passed. We do know that close observers have sensed a steadily progressing revolution of religion, a revolution which holds promise of getting back more squarely upon the basis on which rests the religion of Jesus. For there has come an awakening to the fact that in our attempted evaluation of Christianity, incidentals have been overemphasized and fundamentals shifted to places of secondary or tertiary importance. The original appeal made by Jesus for individual righteousness was for an end. However much we may emphasize the need for personal righteousness, however deeply we may recognize that a prime purpose of the Christian religion is the formation of character on the pattern given us in the life of Christ and in His precepts, a proper envisagement of the religion of Jesus and the evaluation of His life forces us to the conclusion that not even the most refined and most highly developed religious character can live the Christian religion by himself. No man liveth to himself alone. It takes at least two men and God to demonstrate the Christian religion, each man neighbor to the other, demonstrating his love of God in service to his brother. Let us hope, I pray and work, that this conception of the Christian religion is expanding and shall expand in constantly widening circles, until it shall seize the masses of the people in all nations. For then and then only shall war cease, when all shall recognize the deep meaning of the words of the Scripture, quote, "and hath made of one blood all nations of men," unquote, and made man that haply he might successfully feel after God. For when man begins to feel after God, the Spirit of God working in him will open his eyes to the fact that his fellow men are his brothers, and the love of God will issue in service to those brothers. Social reforms have been proposed, but how seldom have these reforms escaped the taint of selfishness? The appeal has usually been made in the vernacular of selfishness. How could we expect otherwise? Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It is necessary for us to know God, and to know him we must become aware of our brother and his needs. God and our brother are complements. To know God we must see our brother, and to see God we must know our brother, a divine paradox. Except there comes that divine personal renaissance which issues in social consciousness, the new order of society cannot even be glimpsed. While we today look with delight upon that revolution in religion which distinctly tends toward a social interpretation of the Christian ethic, we cannot blink the fact that as yet there are far too few with a pure social consciousness. The majority still think, speak, and act in terms of self-serving interests. The awakening of this social consciousness has tremendous powers of soul expansion. Paul once found his soul expanding to all the universe. May not this ecstatic expansion of soul have arisen from a deep spiritual impress of the social content of the message of Jesus? We do know from our experience that that content, once grasped, lifts one up and out of oneself until the expanded soul readjusts itself in a new birth, a vision of larger things, and an activity directed toward social betterment and weal, toward the achievement of a redeemed society, one in which the will of God has perfect play, his kingdom come. Our Heavenly Father, we pray thy benediction for us as we look towards the time when thy kingdom shall come. Help us to be concerned about each other, to do those things which will lift each other toward thee, through Christ. Amen.